from New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Laura Kanoy, and this is The Exchange. The property tax. It's the tax many Americans hate the most. First off, it's so visible and represents a big chunk of change for most folks, not a few pennies here and there like a sales tax. Also, unlike an income tax, the property tax doesn't care whether you lost your job. Beyond the personal impact, there's how property taxes affect community development. For example, it's often said that heavy reliance on property taxes discourages affordable housing because it's thought to increase school costs. But even with all these negatives, some analysts believe the property tax is still the best revenue source. Because it's so obvious, it's said to increase local control, make citizens more involved in spending decisions, and keep local government from growing too large. Also, it's a more stable source of revenue than sales or income taxes or fees, and there are ways to ease the burden on the truly needy, policies like circuit breakers, assessment freezes, and others. Pro and con, these arguments surrounding the property tax have been heard for many years in many states, and they've echoed loudly here in New Hampshire. Our lack of broad-based taxes makes our cities and towns count on the property tax even more, and now a new study finds that reliance has risen over the past decade. Today in The Exchange, perspectives on the property tax, both here in the Granite State and outside. Let's hear from you, too. How do you feel about the property tax as a tool for raising revenue? Does it help keep local government small and spur citizen involvement, or does it distort local decision-making? Also, if you've lived elsewhere, how did local taxation differ there, and which system do you think is better? Give us a call. The Exchange number, 1-800-892-6477, 1-800-892-NHPR, 1-800-892-6477. We have two guests for the hour. Steve Norton's here, Executive Director of the New Hampshire Center for Public Policy Studies, which recently put out a report on how much New Hampshire communities rely on local property taxes. By the way, we've got that report on our Facebook page and our website if you'd like to see it. And Steve, good to see you. Thank you for being
here.
Good
morning.
Also with us from Massachusetts is Jane Malmy, fellow at the Lincoln Institute of Land Policy in Cambridge. She's an attorney who studies, teaches, and advises on property tax policy, law, and administration. And Jane Malmy, great to have you too. Welcome to The Exchange.
Thank you.
Well, and Steve, how did this idea get started? You know, let's tax what you own.
Well, that goes back a long, 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 long time to when you were taxing commodities and sheep, and slowly evolved to the point now where we have a system that taxes people based on the property that they own and the value at which it is assessed.
And it used to be, you know, like you said, based on the number of cows or whatever you had. Mm-hmm. In some states, Jane Malmy, I think they extend the idea of property to your car, too, right? Like Virginia does that.
Well, there are many states that tax automobiles, but some of them tax them as a property tax, and others use an excise tax, so that cars are generally taxed in many states.
So what's the philosophy behind this, Jane? You know, let's tax what you own instead of what you make.
Well, the property tax is a form of wealth. We know in our society, many of us, our greatest form of wealth is our homes. Businesses, of course, depending on their property ownership, also have considerable wealth in their buildings. The property tax too covers the services that are actually provided to property, certainly roads, certainly police and fire protection are property related, and so a property tax makes good sense both in terms of services and in terms of taxing a form of wealth that great many people have. So it's a broad tax base.
Well, and Jane, you've looked at this, you know, around the country, and you've got a different system in Massachusetts too. Remind us, local governments everywhere rely on the property tax to fund local services. But what's the range that you see, Jane, around the country from those states where it's a really, really important source of revenue to perhaps a less important source of revenue?
Well, first of all, New England local government is different from the rest of the country. New England local government really, as Steve mentioned, goes back a long way, and historically, local communities, local towns and cities are the basic form of government. As you go across the country, counties become the greatest source of government, and therefore there are all sorts of different districts. There are school districts, there are water districts, there are fire districts, each of which have their own taxing authority. So that the focus is quite different as you go across the country. You get to the state of Washington, and their tax bill has a myriad of different districts on it, and it's a wonder how the taxpayer can figure out what's accountable for their tax expenditures, but in our case here in New England, the taxes on property are considerable in all of the states. Actually, New Hampshire, of course, exceeds all of us because it is the major tax. But nevertheless, we do have higher property taxes, rely on property taxes much more than the rest of the country. And the basis in other parts of the country depends on their total tax mix. Texas, for example, does not have an income tax, but it has a sales tax. And the sales tax and the property tax both are the major sources of revenue for both local and for local government in both of those cases. Florida has a limit now, but still it relies heavily on property taxes. So there are certainly states that have lower taxes generally. Some of the lower southern states, Alabama, Mississippi, and so on, have generally lower taxes at the state and local level.
Lower property taxes, Jane.
Yes.
Overall,
but right.
New Hampshire's tax burden is pretty small.
Property taxes. So that you find in some of the southern states that property taxes are low, but so are all the other taxes.
Steve, if you could jump in here, please. You know, New Hampshire, as I understand, does rely, as Jane said, pretty heavily on property taxes, more so than other New England states. But overall, considering, you know, property and sales and income and all the other taxes and fees, what's our property tax burden look like overall per capita here in New Hampshire?
Overall, our property tax burden is among the highest in the country. We're 46, but our tax burden, of course, is among the lowest in the country. And even when you compare yourself to other similar states sociodemographically with respect to need, we're still low. So basically, we've made a public policy decision that we're going to use to fund the public good, however we define that, based largely on that tax.
So why then, Steve, do people here in New Hampshire, a lot of folks anyway, hate the property tax so much? Do they forget that their overall tax burden is among the lowest in the country, or what's going on there?
Well, there are two things. I think, one, it's hard to see what happens in the rest of the country and to even think that it's relevant. But two, you know, it is, as you said, a tax that is very personal. You see it quarterly, and it grows and grows and grows and grows and always has grown. And so that's one component of that, the property tax. The other is that populations like the elderly and those on incomes that don't grow as property taxes have grown are more exposed and more vulnerable. And so you end up seeing people say that this is a regressive tax and that it taxes those who can least afford it the most, and therefore it's a bad tax policy.
Our number here in the exchange is 1-800-892-6477. Join us, 1-800-892-NHPR. Today on the exchange, we're looking at a long, old debate here in New Hampshire, the property tax. How do you feel about the property tax as a source of revenue for local government? In your perfect world, what do local taxes look like? And as we've heard, most other states have an overall higher tax burden per capita than here in New Hampshire. How does that make you feel about the property tax? Is it as bad as many people say it is? Our number, 1-800-892-6477, 1-800-892-NHPR. Steve, real quickly to you, Jane talked earlier about the differences in property tax burdens and tax burdens overall across the states. Here in New Hampshire, you folks at the New Hampshire Center for Public Policy Studies just put out a report looking at local communities and how much they rely on property taxes to fund municipal services. Found a big range of difference there too, Steve. You know, some relied as much as 80% on property taxes, some as little as 50%. What accounts for those differences?
There are lots of revenue sources that communities have. Car registrations, federal dollars, other resources, other federal resources that come in that really create some significant diversity in how local finance actually occurs in each community. And obviously, therefore, how various policy changes, including the reductions in local aid at the state level, the changes in federal ARRA monies, how they impacted those communities across the across time.
So those communities, Steve, that rely less on property taxes may get money from the state. They may get federal grants. They may be really good at figuring out how to get those. What else? I mean, I have a hard time believing that all these little fees here and there could add up enough to run a fire department in a school system.
Right. Well, imagine in 2008, in the first very difficult budget of the Great Recession, the governor introduced a series of changes to local aid, one of which was fixed revenue sharing. That was a program developed in the 70s to send local aid to communities. It tended to affect disproportionately our old urban centers, Claremont, Laconia, Franklin. And so we took $25 million out of local communities, and those communities, they have less property wealth. They're more reliant on that state aid. So that's, you know, very fundamentally changing the way they're financed, or forcing them to change the way they're financing themselves.
And your study found, Steve, over the decade, an increasing reliance at the community level on local property taxes. What's
that's
going
great.
On there?
Yeah, well, there are a couple of things. There are two ways of looking at that. One, local aid was reduced, but also it hasn't kept pace with the cost of doing business. So in other words, education goes up, but education funding has remained relatively flat, with one exception, 1 year of exception. The alternative explanation is that local communities have not controlled their own costs in this difficult time. And so costs have increased. The aid has not increased from either the federal government or the state, and they've been forced to increase their property taxes as a result.
All right. Well, after a short break, we'll start taking your calls at 1-800-892-6477, 1-800-892-NHPR. We're taking your questions and comments about the property tax as a policy tool, how it affects individuals and communities here in New Hampshire. We'll also hear very quickly from someone in North Dakota, where there is a proposal for a constitutional amendment to ban the property tax. All that coming up. Stay with us.
Good morning. It's 9:19. Support for NHPR comes from UR members and from the Wealth Management Group at Merrimack County Savings Bank. Trust in wealth management services provided by advisors committed to your financial needs. TheMerrimack.com. And from Lang McLowry Spira Real Estate and its affiliate Line and Davis Fine Properties, announcing their 15th office at the Powerhouse Mall in the Upper Valley, West Lebanon, New Hampshire. More on property taxes in New Hampshire on The Exchange on NHPR and at 10 on The Diane Rehm Show. It's the Friday News Roundup. New Hampshire weather today, mostly cloudy statewide with a chance of snow flurries from the White Mountains north. Highs from 25 in the North Country, ranging to 35 in southern sections of the state. Tonight, cloudy with some snow and sleet developing after midnight. Possible accumulations 1 to 3 inches. Lows tonight from 25 north, ranging to 35 south, but temperatures will start to climb in the overnight. This is NHPR.
This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoy. Today in The Exchange, we're assessing, once again, the property tax and how it's used here in New Hampshire and in communities around the country. We invite you to join us at 1-800-892-6477. Also, The Exchange is now on Facebook. We hope you go to our page, join the conversation there. And Jane Malmey, you know, Steve Norton talked about the discrepancy between different communities, even here in the state, some relying very heavily on local property taxes, others less so. Have you seen this in other states, Jane? As state legislatures cut back everywhere, the locals pick up the slack.
Well, this is sort of across the board at this point, because state governments, particularly those actually who rely heavily on more volatile sales and income taxes during this recession, really are seeing a hit that they often correct by as in New Hampshire, even though that's not the different taxes may not be the reason, by cutting back on local aid. And so it's common throughout the country, and local governments have to scramble to figure out by either cutting services, laying off firefighters or teachers, which have been done certainly everywhere and are in the headlines everywhere, or raising their own taxes. And of course, here in New Hampshire or here in New England, raising property taxes sometimes is limited, but not in New Hampshire. But there are several of our states do have limits on increases in property taxes.
Well, yeah, you have a cap there in Massachusetts.
Yes,
And there's been some legislation on that in New Hampshire, too. So, Jane, hold off for a minute, if you could, please. I want to go now to North Dakota and talk to Dave Thompson. He's news director of Prairie Public in Bismarck, North Dakota, where, as we understand, Dave, a group wants a constitutional amendment to ban the property tax. How come?
That is correct. This group has been concerned about the way property taxes are collected. They're basically saying that rural areas in North Dakota get too much of a burden on property taxes, and that the elderly do too, because property taxes help fund schools. So with the state now in the midst of an oil boom and with more than $1 billion in the bank in a surplus, they're saying now's the time to basically get rid of property taxes altogether and shift the funding source to state sources.
So, and that's huge. What other taxes do you have in North Dakota? Do you have sales and income taxes?
We do have sales taxes. The sales tax is 5% statewide.
Mm-hmm.
We have income taxes, and we're somewhere in the neighborhood of 31st or 32nd in the nation in terms of the percentage of income that we pay back. It might be even lower than that, because the legislature has been, for the last three sessions, lowering the income tax as more oil tax revenues come in.
Well, it's interesting. And, you know, Dave, why are people targeting the property tax? Why aren't they saying, hey, look, we've got all this oil money, let's get rid of the sales tax or let's get rid of the income tax? Why are they putting the property tax on the chopping block?
There's been a number of groups who have said that the property tax is the most unfair tax in North Dakota. We had a very high property tax burden in terms of, you know, relative to every other tax. And there were some problems with assessments. There were problems with valuations as, of course, North Dakota's booming. House valuations are going up, and property taxes are going up. Well, the legislature has tried to address that. They've poured more money into education, so the state now funds 70% of the cost of local education, and they've been able to lower property tax rates. Well, the group that is called Empower the Taxpayer wants to go a step further and say, okay, let's just get rid of property taxes altogether.
Wow.
The arguments for it, of course, is no more property tax, but the arguments against it are coming from local governments, from cities, counties, townships, and schools, who say this is a loss of local control. In North Dakota, we have an odd situation. We have a biennial legislature, meets only once every 2 years for three months.
We used to have that.
Yes. We still have that here. And there is some concern that if you turn over the purse strings to the state, you're going to create a bureaucracy and possibly create annual legislative sessions. And there's a lot of resistance to that.
Very interesting. Well, so what's the next step in this story, Dave?
Well, the measure is going to be voted on in our June primary, which will be the second Tuesday in June. And what normally had turned into a very sleepy primary process in North Dakota, I mean, not a lot of voters get out for it because it's party, you know, and the parties normally have their candidates lined up before the primary. Now there's more interest because this measure is on the ballot and we could see a very big turnout in the June primary.
Well, Dave, I know you're real busy this morning, so I'll let you go. But I really appreciate your time. Thank you.
You are very welcome.
That's Dave Thompson, radio news director of Prairie Public in Bismarck, North Dakota, where, as we heard, there's a group pushing for a constitutional amendment to ban the property tax. Our number is 1-800-892-6477, 1-800-892-NHPR. And Steve Norton, before we go to the phones, I'm so intrigued by this story, but there's no real tie into New Hampshire, is there, in this? We're not, you know, overflowing with oil wealth like North Dakota is.
No, but I think there's the perennial debate about whether and how either local communities or the state should cap its responsibility or its ability to raise revenues. And we've seen it in Franklin. We've seen it in Manchester, communities that are trying to make a pitch for putting a cap, per capita growth plus some measure of inflation. Massachusetts has implemented Proposition 2.5, I think it was a Proposition 2.5, which was a limitation across a variety of different factors of property taxes going up by 2.5%. That always gets some conversation in New Hampshire. The constitutional amendment question of abolishing the property tax, no way. I think the New Hampshire prides itself on local control, and I think that would get in the way of people's perceptions about local control.
All right, let's go to our callers. Again, the number 1-800-892-6477. And Nancy's calling in first from Conway. Hi, Nancy. Thanks for joining us. Go ahead.
Morning, Laura. Thanks for having me.
Sure.
I wanted to make a comment about this. I just moved here from Connecticut. And most people are aware of how high the taxes in Connecticut are. We have state income tax, we have property tax, we have sales tax, and, you know, everything is taxed, the highest gas tax in the country. So moving here to New Hampshire has been like a huge pay raise. People don't realize how much they're getting for the property tax they're paying. They don't have to pay these other taxes. And what I'm seeing, too, is that areas where New Hampshire could be making money, such as in recycling, single-stream recycling, it's looked at here with suspicion. People don't understand it. They don't realize how much money the communities can make on selling trash.
But in terms of taxes, then, Nancy, you're saying don't complain?
I'm saying you get a lot for your money. I really am. And where I came from in what northwestern Connecticut, we didn't even pay for our fire department. It was all volunteer. We had to pay for our own trash.
Okay.
So people don't understand how good they have it. I'm sorry, but they do.
Nancy, thanks a lot for calling in. Jane, what do you think?
Well, I was looking, and Connecticut actually is the highest tax state in New England. In the state and local figures that we have, Connecticut comes up number three of high tax burdens per capita compared to New Hampshire, which is number 44 of the states. So Connecticut really does have a high range of taxes and a high range of state and local taxes, the highest range of state and local taxes in New England.
You know, and it's come up a couple times, Jane, and I just want to hit it harder with you. The fact that Massachusetts has a statewide tax cap of 2.5%, right?
That's right.
And how does that work then? You still have income and sales taxes in Massachusetts, but...
Yes, well, this is for property taxes only.
Right.
The 2.5%. And it's interesting because the property tax levy in a local community, that means the taxes, that means that the money raised by property taxes, the total amount raised by property taxes, cannot increase more than 2.5% over your levy limit. Now, if you haven't raised in 1 year 2.5%, you get to hold that. So
you could make it 5%.
Some can raise more. Secondly, there's some amendments. If there is growth to the tax base, buildings, new houses, new commercial property, that might require additional services, fire, police, and so on, then that gets added on to the 2.5. So if you look at most cities and towns, you'll see that the increases actually annually are more than 2.5%. Then towns and cities have the opportunity to override for several reasons, just to increase the amount of revenue or to build schools and so on. And those are quite prevalent, generally in the suburbs. Not so much in the cities, but that increases. So the 2.5 levy limit does place a constraint that again makes the increases more visible to the people who are voting in the towns and cities. And I do think that the visibility of the levy limit, as well as the full value assessments that must be according to standards set by the Department of Revenue and the Division of Local Services, and are reviewed every 3 years so that every community must meet those standards. So people have a general level of confidence in the assessment system.
Sure, and we haven't even touched that yet, but right. We haven't even touched the assessment
system. So those two things going together have meant that there's a quite stable and generally non-controversial process, even though, but Proposition 2.5 has reduced the level of property taxes generally, so that Massachusetts is number 11 in state and local taxes, for example.
So the whole tax burden is only, it's 11, number 11 in Massachusetts.
Of state and local, the state and local tax burden.
Yeah.
But like everywhere else, the state state aid has fluctuated over
sure.
the years, and they have maintained it this year, there is always that difficulty of waiting until the legislature chooses how much state aid is going to be before the local budgets can really be
right.
set.
Right. It's always a question that we see here in New Hampshire. Steve Norton, to you, and then back to our callers.
So just to put the Connecticut-New Hampshire comparison in sort of stark relief, the total state and local tax burden is about 8% of personal income in New Hampshire. It's 12% in Connecticut. Mm-hmm. And so it's a third higher, almost a half higher than the 8%. And so that would be. In Massachusetts, the tax rate is about 10% as opposed to 8% in New Hampshire. Again, mm-hmm. a very big difference. And so although our property tax is high, we do maintain a very low tax burden.
Let's go back to our callers. And Nancy, thanks for that one. Our number here in the exchange is 1-800-892-6477. Taking your thoughts, questions, comments about property taxes here on the exchange. And let's go to Pittsfield next, where John is on the air. Hi, John. Go ahead.
Good morning, Laura.
Morning.
I would like to point out that we're always hearing about the low tax that people in New Hampshire have, but it is so inequitable based on where you live. In a town with a very poor tax base, not next to a large lake or a power plant or anything else, you just... it comes out of people's pockets, whether you're 100 years old or 25 years old.
And you don't have a lot of second homes in Pittsfield. You don't have a lot of industry.
Almost none.
Yeah. And right. a very high property tax rate, as I understand.
Exactly. We brag about having the highest in the state.
Oh, boy.
$32 per thousand. And, of course, I'm retired and have been for 25 years. My retirement pension is not indexed, so it's tough, and I get so fed up with hearing that New Hampshire has the lowest tax rate. Not me.
Doesn't feel like that to you. Hey, and John, thanks for calling in, and I got a couple emails to that effect too, making your same point. So I appreciate you calling in, Steve Norton.
To some extent, looking at the property tax without looking at the ecology of the system is somewhat misleading. Certainly it's true that the property tax is perceived as regressive with respect to where people are and also with respect to their income, age, and to some extent, whether they have a high level of income. But there are other programs in the state that are designed to mitigate those issues. There are lots of programs which send aid to those communities with lower income or less property value. That was the big debate about education finance. How do you send resources to communities like Pittsfield? So that's not so much about the property tax, but I think about a failure of other mechanisms to alleviate some of those problems with the property tax. In addition, we have the state mandates that local communities have, in essence, a circuit breaker for low-income elderly people or people who are living on a fixed income.
Does every community have that?
Every community has it at a certain bottom level,
mm-hmm.
and then communities can go up higher and lower. Not lower, but higher than that if they choose. So, for example, in the Seacoast, a lot of communities, their circuit breakers for the elderly are much higher.
Because
exemptions, because the housing
expenses.
Costs. Exactly. So Yes, the property tax has some failings, but the state has other policies which have been designed to mitigate some of those failures. Maybe they haven't done as good a job as they could have.
Person by person, then. Instead That's of globally, right. person by person, you can ask for those exemptions.
Yeah.
And I know we got an email earlier that said that in New Hampshire, we do not have a circuit breaker to prevent this gross overtaxation of some, nor any mechanism to equalize the tax burden across income levels. That was an email from Jill and Hollis. So you're saying, Steve, indeed, there are circuit breakers.
Yeah, there are, and they're just not quite as extensive as I think some would want them to be. So we have a circuit breaker for the statewide property tax used to fund local education aid. We also have a mandate that communities provide exemptions to the elderly, particularly the low-income elderly.
All right. Well, John, good to hear from you. And I want to go
May
now.
May I just cut in for a minute? Is that allowed?
Sure. Go ahead.
Yep.
Go ahead, and then I'll go to another caller.
That focus is on the two areas that one needs to look at from a policy. I know that the circuit breaker is basically for the state property tax, and communities have to pick up for the local property tax, that might be something to look at if the state can pick up more of that burden. Secondly, there is a need for looking at the whole state equalization process and seeing if local aid needs to be equalized depending on the resources and the ability of the community to raise property taxes. So those are the two areas of what kind of tax relief and how good that program is in really providing tax relief. Certainly the circuit breaker programs have many different ways of being organized to do that, and it is an important program, but it is only related to the state property tax at this point in New Hampshire.
I see. And Steve, you know, I remember we did a program a while back on these exemptions for the elderly, for low income. I think some towns have exemptions for veterans even. The question that comes up is not, you know, do folks like John and Pittsfield deserve those exemptions, but if you give too many people exemptions, somebody else has to pick up the tab.
That's right. It is a cost shift. But in the case of the elderly program, it was relatively limited. I think it was increased the tax burden of others by about $50 a year for those in the state on average. I'm not exactly sure I got those numbers right. But it's a relatively limited policy intervention in the state right now.
All right. Well, John, good luck to you, and thanks for joining us. Our number, 1-800-892-6477, 1-800-892-NHPR. Today in The Exchange, again, we're looking at the property tax, how cities and towns have long depended on it to fund government services and schools, and whether there's other models out there that New Hampshire should be looking at. Our number, 1-800-892-6477, and we'll be right back.
You can help NHPR shorten the March fund drive when you join the Jumpstart Challenge. We need to raise $120,000 by 7 p.m. on the 7th, the first day of our drive, to get an additional $12,000. When you help us make this goal, you'll jumpstart us toward shortening the drive by 2 days. Your gift today will count toward that goal. Call 1-888-805-NHPR or visit nhpr.org.
Support for NHPR comes from UR members and from the Hop at Dartmouth presenting Max Rubba and the Palast Orchestra on March 6th at 7 p.m. Tickets at hop.dartmouth.edu. And from Ansel and Anderson, Trust and Estate Attorneys, helping families transfer wealth from one generation to the next. On the web at Ansel and Anderson in Bedford. Good morning, it's 9:40. This is NHPR.
This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoy. Monday in The Exchange, rising tensions between the state legislature and the judiciary this year. Email us your questions and comments before the program at exchange@nhpr.org and join us Monday morning, live at 9. Today in The Exchange, we're diving into an old debate here in New Hampshire, property taxes, and how cities and towns are relying on them even more these days to fund local services. This is an issue in other states, too. We're looking outside our borders as well. And let's hear from you. 1-800-892-6477. 1-800-892-NHPR. And Steve Norton and Jane Malmy, let's go next to Norm in Portsmouth. Hi, Norm. You're on the air. Welcome. Thanks for waiting.
Hi, good morning.
Morning.
Yes, I'm not a fan of the relatively high property taxes that we have, but there is an advantage, I think, to the property taxes, and we've seen that here in Portsmouth, where because it's so close to the individuals in town, we can really see and have a dialogue with our city council about how some of the spending is going. I think because it's close to the people, people who own homes really see how much that costs. They're more willing to step forward and say to the city council, why are we spending on this and that? And some of the dialogue that we've seen here locally has given some real scrutiny to the, for example, many towns are that way. I think 85% of our local budget goes to personnel. And we've had some real scrutiny of the pensions and the step increases and the COLA increases and the work rules that are all personnel related here. And we've had some good scrutiny on that. And it wouldn't probably have happened if it wasn't for the property taxes being forced higher by these, I think, unreasonable union agreements that have been signed in the law.
Well, and Norm, this is certainly an argument that you hear often in favor of the property tax. And Jane Malmy, we heard that too from our call out to North Dakota, that cities and town officials in North Dakota like having that local control. What do you think, Jane?
Well, I think that's absolutely right. One of the problems that we have seen with, for instance, the early tax limit in California in Proposition 13 is that it basically has, in many ways, people feel destroyed local government scrutiny. And so I think Norm certainly said it as well as it could be said that that local governments that have residents who know what's going on can determine the level of quality of services they want and be relatively satisfied that their government is providing the services at a reasonable cost to them.
So you
and
mentioned
I think that's a real benefit of the property tax.
Jane, you mentioned California. Just real briefly, remind us what happened there. They had many years ago a huge effort to cap property taxes, right?
Well, they did. It was Proposition 13 basically capped property taxes as they were at that time with small increases every year. But when the property is sold, someone moves into a new property, then they have to pay the full price of the full assessment of the taxes on that property. So it's only when you move that that you have to pay higher taxes. And so people who lived right next to each other may pay very different taxes. But the state took control largely of the education process, and so there is very little choice that local government has to fund, so that they rely on some things like taxing certain kinds of fees for shopping malls and that sort of thing.
So they really changed their culture based on that decision many years ago.
Yes.
All right. Well, thanks for that call. And let's go next to Judy in Peterborough. Hi, Judy. Thanks for hanging on. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi, Laura. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
A couple of points I wanted to make. But first, one of the flaws that I see with the state's reliance on property tax, I worked as the assessing clerk in Peterborough for 7 years and saw a lot of people just really struggle with this. But more than that is the current use program in New Hampshire, which I think is a wonderful program. But at the time, over 50% of the state's acres were enrolled in the current use program, which is a lower tax rate for keeping the property in its natural state. And so you've got half the state's acres not being taxed at the regular rate, cutting into the municipal revenue. And you can't have it both ways. I think the current use program is wonderful, but when you rely on property tax for your revenue, you just can't have it both ways.
So what should we do, Judy? What do you think? And this current use is a very interesting point that we'll talk about, but what do you think we should do?
Well, I personally think there should be, I'm not sure, you know, what will work, but there have been a couple of, I think, very good proposals for both sales tax and income tax that would actually not affect people who are property rich and income poor, you know, but help them or help the states get the revenue to make up the difference so that these people who have been in their homes for generations could keep their homes. I think we're at a point where we really need to reconsider another tax.
All right. Judy, thanks a lot for calling. Current use, boy, Steve Norton, we've done whole programs on this. Glad you raised it, Judy. Just remind us how this works, Steve, and why it's been controversial in New Hampshire.
Right. So in essence, when a community or an individual has a certain set of acres that they have responsibility for, they can put it into active working status, which exempts it or creates special tax breaks for that particular acreage.
And farmland, forest land. What keeps New Hampshire green and beautiful?
That's right. And 100% of the communities have current use tax exemptions. And the value of that is not exactly clear, but of all of the tax exemption programs, it is clearly the one that shifts the most burden to other people, in the sense that it is generally associated with people who have higher income, so it shifts it to the lower income, the elderly, who don't have the benefit of having those, you know, acreage. And I think that's the criticism that has been made of it in the past.
There's an argument on the other side, Steve, and that is that it keeps New Hampshire open and beautiful, and tourists do come here because they want to see mountains and forests and pretty village greens and so forth. So there's a hidden benefit that people talk about,
right,
that you don't see.
Yeah, no, there is. There's no... There's no black and white to this question as to any of these taxation questions. It's more, I think, as the woman raised the issue, is there some other mechanism by which you want to protect people who can't afford the property tax values other than those that are currently existing?
You know, we hear so many complaints, Steve, about the unfairness of it for people on fixed incomes, John in Pittsfield and so forth. And, you know, you do feel people's pain, and it makes me wonder if the circuit breakers or the low-income elderly exemptions that New Hampshire cities and towns have are not good enough.
Well, generally, I think a colleague of Jane's at the Lincoln Land Institute did a study showing that generally the property tax is a relatively progressive tax in the sense that people who have bigger houses tend to have higher incomes, and it's only in certain periods of life where you don't. And so the public policy question is, as you've raised it, should the state take some responsibility for supporting those people to live in the homes which they've lived for many years because their financial circumstances has changed? The question varies considerably by community, and I think that's what the state has said. Communities, we're going to require you to do a very small amount, but we're going to let you make whatever decision you want, how high you're going to make that exemption.
What about that, Jane? The idea of the property tax as progressive for most, but not for all, and that's where the trouble comes in. What do you think?
Well, that's right. You have to look at first what are your other choices. It's certainly more progressive than having a sales tax, for instance, which is less progressive. But there are certain protections that need to be made, as we know. And the circuit breaker is considered the most efficient. In the short run, it targets the people who are most in need without a general revenue loss. It's the most efficient in that case. But usually, and certainly in Massachusetts, of course, it is funded by the state government, not the local governments, although there is an option for the local governments to improve on it, and a few of them have. Mention that I would make for the elderly people, and it's not a terribly popular solution, but deferral of property taxes is quite common around the United States.
So if you lose your job, you know, maybe you can hold off on paying your property taxes for a while.
It's it's generally targeted to the elderly,
mm-hmm.
and they can defer their taxes until their property is sold or until they pass on, and so that relieves them of the property tax burden, and that can be very helpful. Often people don't want to do it, but it's certainly an option for them, and one way to protect the elderly. They simply don't have to pay the property taxes. The town or the state can set the rate of interest, and in our case in Massachusetts, the state can recommend that an 8% interest is charged, but many towns drop it down to 3 or 4%, so that
in those deferments, so I see.
Yeah,
yeah. Let's take another call.
This is another choice is sort of an alternative to someone who is retired and living in a large home who might want to have a reverse mortgage. That's a possibility, but those are expensive to do, and so a tax deferral is another choice.
All right. Let's take another call if we could, and this is Harrison in Enfield. And hi, Harrison, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi, thanks for having me on. I was thinking when the property tax came in, I mean, it was related to income. If you had a small farm, you had small income. If you had a big farm, you had a big income.
Right, because you could sell more crops and so forth, right.
Yeah, that's no longer the case. And I think now it's particularly challenging because we've moved to more and more statewide funding. Education would be a great example of a fiasco that's gone on for years. Social services, which leads us to an attempt to impose a statewide property tax, which is very impractical because it's very difficult to equalize the assessments statewide between the northern part of the state and the southern part of the state, rural and metro. So it seems to me that I used to agree with Norm, you know, I thought, well, local property taxes, local control, that's no longer the case. We had a very well-attended select board meeting here after the last reassessment about 3-4 years ago, and a lot of the lakefront properties were way overvalued because the recession had dropped their value. Basically, the guys from the state were there and said, you know, local selectmen can't do anything about this because they'll be fined by the state if their assessments aren't in line with what the state says they should be. So
yeah, it gets difficult,
lost
doesn't it?
Control.
So what's the way out, Harrison?
But I think an income tax would be so easy to equalize statewide. It's directly related to your ability to pay. I mean, we own a piece of property on the lake. It's been the family for 50 years. And, you know, our taxes are almost $10,000 for something we use 4 months of the year.
Yeah.
Not related to our income at all. So I think an income tax would be so simple. Where's Mark Fernald when we need him?
He's the gentleman who ran for governor many years back on a campaign, Steve Norton, you remember this, of a small income tax with a generous homestead exemption for that home that you live in. Went down in flames, basically, the campaign did, and many people from that campaign on out said, okay, we're done with this question. Right. That campaign answered it.
Right. if you look at over the last 40 years of polling data, the opposition to an income tax is higher than it's ever been. And
here in New Hampshire.
Here in New Hampshire. And so I think to some extent it's a moot point, the question of an income tax. The question of making a tax system more or less progressive I think remains a relevant policy question. And there are certainly ways, and Jane has talked about a few, that you could respond to the question of, do we want to make a more progressive tax system in this state? You could use a circuit breaker. You could do these other things if that's what the legislature or others were interested in doing.
So work with the property tax, make it more progressive. You're saying, sorry, Harrison, but an income tax is off the table here in New Hampshire?
That seems like politically, I'm not one to answer that question, but it seems like politically that has been the case and remains the case, particularly in periods of economic constraint where people fear that an income tax is going to take more money out of their pockets in a very difficult financial time.
Okay. Well, Harrison, thanks a lot for joining us. I appreciate it. And Jane, did you want to jump in there?
Yes, I just wanted to say that the importance of this debate between the state and local shares is going to become increasingly important. Times are tough for both, but one of the things that we know is that the population is aging, And the state share of all of these different programs, whether it's Medicaid or government retiree health costs, that's the other side of the on the revenue stream, age patterns in income and spending, and I have a recent study that showed that New Hampshire is particularly affected by that. The percentage share of population age 65 and over, New Hampshire exceeds exceeds everyone but Maine, Massachusetts. Let me just say that the 2000 census showed.
And we've
that
done. And sorry to interrupt you, Jim.
Share of 65 or over was.
We've done tons of shows on this, and you're absolutely right. New Hampshire is one of the grayest states in the nation.
Yes.
So yes, we're. And in fact,
yes,
Steve Norton's group did a study on that. So are you saying?
So
Jane,
it's important
yeah.
to look at these circuit breakers, which
sure.
are efficient methods, deferral, and also then. How the equalizing formulas work and how the assessments are explained to people, because clearly there has been a lot of concern about the assessment assessments in New Hampshire. They may be perfectly good, but they may vary from community to community.
Sure.
And so having people have confidence in their assessment system is crucial to their respect to the property tax, in addition to these other relief measures.
Right. And Steve, real quick, last word from you.
Agree. Towns are in for another 2 or 3 difficult budget cycles, and these issues are not going to end.
Especially as the population ages, as Jane so rightly
That's
points
right.
out. All right, Jane, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you.
That's Jane Malmy, fellow at the Lincoln Institute of Land Policy in Cambridge, Massachusetts. And Steve Norton, always a pleasure. Thank you for your time.
Thanks, Laura.
Steve Norton, Executive Director of the New Hampshire Center for Public Policy Studies. The Exchange is a production of New Hampshire Public Radio. The engineer is Dan Colgan. Our producer is Ellen Grimm. Our volunteer is Priscilla Malcolm. Our theme music was composed by Bob Lord. The Exchange's executive producer is Keith Shields. And I'm Laura Kanoy.